Let us read together in the Word of God. We are currently studying the book of Deuteronomy, and we've come this morning to the third and the last section of chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14 from the 22nd verse. The third section of the chapter. You shall tithe all the yield of your seed, which comes forth from the field, year by year. And before the Lord your God, in the place which he will choose, that's to say the temple in Jerusalem, in the place which he will choose to make his name dwell there, you shall eat the tithe of your grain, of your wine, and of your oil, and the firstlings of your herd and flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And if the way to Jerusalem, is too long for you, so that you are not able to bring the tithe, when the Lord your God blesses you, because the place is too far from you, which the Lord your God chooses to set his name there, then you shall turn the tithe into money, and bind up the money in your hand, and then go to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and spend the money for whatever you desire, oxen or sheep, or wine or strong drink, whatever your appetite craves, and you shall eat there before the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. And you shall not forsake the Levite who is within your towns, for he has no portion or inheritance with you. At the end of every 3 years, you shall bring forth the tithe of your produce in that same year and store it up within your towns. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns shall come and eat and be filled, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands that you do. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading from his word and give us an understanding of it. Now these are the intimations for are two most important practical pieces of Christian teaching in this third section of Deuteronomy chapter 14. The first has to do with the obligation that was laid on Israel to make provision for the Levite who was amongst them. In the very nature of things, the Levite was a special case in the economy of God. You see, all the other tribes were entitled to have areas of land that they could work and cultivate and call their own. But the Levite was not like the other tribes. The Levite had no portion in Israel. And in a sense, he was a loner amongst the tribes, spending his life ministering to the Lord. As we would say nowadays, he was in full-time service, and therefore the Levite had to be supported. He had no heritage, he had no income, he had no visible means of support, and therefore the brothers had to care for the Levite. In verses 27 and 29 we read, "You shall not forsake the Levite."
who is within your towns, for he has no portion or inheritance with you. Because he has no portion or inheritance with you, the Levite shall come and eat and be filled, that the Lord may bless you in all the work of your hands that you do. And that's the first practical piece of teaching in this third section of Deuteronomy 14, the need of the people of God to care for the Levites. The second practical section has to do with the question of tithing, which is the principle of giving a tenth to the Lord for his use and for his service. You find the practice of tithing referred to all throughout the Old Testament, and although at first reading the rules seem to be rather complicated and difficult, the whole business of tithing was essentially a simple affair. Three groups of substance or possessions had to be tithed to the Lord. First of all, a tenth of the seed of the land went to the Lord. That's to say, the produce of gardens and of fields and of farms. Secondly, a tenth of all the fruit from the trees went to the Lord, the produce of your orchards. And thirdly, a tenth of your herds and flocks went to the Lord. And the animals were simply marched out in single file, and every tenth animal was singled out as belonging to God. And so there was no question of you picking out the inferior beasts, the scraggy cattle and the mangy sheep, all the diseased and the scabby animals, and giving them to the Lord. Every tenth animal went to God. And the principle was, only the best was fit for God. Crème de la crème for God. And nothing less than the best would do for God. As the Old Testament says, I will not offer unto the Lord that which costeth me nothing. Only the best for God. And all of that, the tenth of your harvest field, the tenth of your orchard, and the tenth of your herds and flocks was brought to the Levite as his portion in Israel. And then we learn from other parts of the Old Testament that the Levite gave a tenth of what he received to the priests. A tenth of the tenth went to the priests, who were the descendants of Aaron and who were a special part of the tribe of Levi. And that's the second practical piece of teaching in this third section of Deuteronomy 14. The principle of giving a tenth to the Lord. In verse 22 we read, you shall tithe all the yield of your seed, the grain, the wine, the oil, and all the firstlings of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But in fact, there is really much more to this passage than this. If you stand back from the text and look down at it, and as it were, take a bird's eye view of what Deuteronomy 14 is saying, you will find that these two areas of teaching, providing for the Levite and giving a tenth of your substance to the Lord, are really expressions of a much broader and a much larger area of spiritual truth. And this larger area of truth has to deal with the quality of our consecration and our yieldedness to God. The broader, more expansive canvas has to do with the quality of our lives, the quality of our being, and from these come the quality of our giving. And so the broader aspect of this chapter has to do with what you could call Christian generosity, or Christian largesse, open-handedness, and liberality in Christian service. That's the broad thing. And these two, caring for the Levites and giving a tenth to the Lord, are simply parts of this much broader picture. And therefore, can we look at these three this morning in the brief time allowed us, and we start with the two smaller things and then move to the larger issue. First of all, caring for the Levite. And of course, there was a very special reason why Israel had to care for the Levite. The Levite was landless. He was homeless, and he had no heritage in the land in the way in which the other tribes had a heritage in the land. And over and over and over again in the law of God, God urges the children of Israel to care for the Levites and to minister to those who minister in holy things. Listen to these verses, Deuteronomy 12 and 12. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and daughters, and the Levite who is within your towns, since he has no portion or inheritance with you. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 19. Take heed that you do not forget the Levite as long as you live in the land. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 11. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and daughter, and the Levite who is within your towns, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and so on, time after time after time. God urges his people to minister to those who minister in holy things. As we would say nowadays, Christian ministry in all its aspects needs to be cared for. Somebody needs to minister to the ministers of Christ. Somebody has to provide for the needs of those who are not normally provided for. Ministers, missionaries, and the servants of Christ are to be sustained by the love gifts of the Lord's people. We are not to forget the Levite as long as we are in the land. And I'm bound to say here that whatever the failings of our own denomination may be, and our failings are writ large, the Church of Scotland has always had a great personal care for its ministers, and provision is always made very carefully for the servants of Christ in the Church of Scotland. And I often wonder how ministers manage to struggle along in other denominations, such as the Baptists, or amongst our friends in the Free Church, or in the United Free Church, and in the Free Presbyterian Church, and other denominations, where the minimum stipend is far lower than it is in the Church of Scotland. I often wonder how these men, especially men with wives and families, manage to live. The Poor Committee for the Maintenance of the Ministry in 121 George Street is often exposed to much abuse. But it has this to be said in its advantage, that it tends very carefully to the needs of ministers, and indeed it provides very liberally for widows and orphans and children. And it is because they have exhorted and encouraged people to care for the Levite in the camp that the ministry in Scotland is as well sustained as it is today. But the Old Testament gives us another good reason why we should care for Levites. You may recall that it was an Old Testament rule in the law of God that the firstborn male in every family belonged to the Lord and had to be handed over to the Lord for service. In other words, the first fruits were his. Not just the first fruits of your field and your garden, of your herds and your flocks, but the law of God said the first fruits of your womb. The firstborn male in every home was God's baby and God's child. It was God's life, and it had to be handed over to him. Now, can you imagine what would happen if the firstborn son in every family had to be handed over to God for Christian service? But the law of God also said that God was prepared to waive this law and this requirement. And instead of taking the firstborn males from every family, God took the Levites. And the Levites, the ministry, were the redemption price of the first fruits of the womb. In other words, God took the Levites to minister to him. Instead of all the firstborn males amongst God's people, and the lives of the Levites, full-time servants of God, full-time ministers, their lives were substitute for the lives of all the others, the first fruits from the womb. And that was why the Levites had to be cared for. Listen to these words. First of all, from Numbers chapter 3 and verse 9. Behold, I have taken the Levites from amongst the people of Israel instead of every firstborn that opens the womb amongst the people of Israel. I have taken the Levites instead of the firstborn that opens the womb. The Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. That's Numbers chapter 3 and verses 9 and 12. Or listen to these words from Numbers chapter 8 verses 5 and 10 and 14. The Lord said to Moses, take the Levites from amongst the people of Israel, the ministers, and cleanse them. When you present the Levites before the Lord, the people of Israel shall lay their hands upon the Levites, and Aaron shall offer the Levites as first fruit offerings from the people of Israel. Aaron shall offer the Levites as first fruit offerings from the people of Israel, that it may be theirs to do the service of the Lord. And thus you shall separate the Levites, and the Levites shall be mine. Numbers chapter 8. The Levites were the redemption price of all the firstborn males in Israel. And that was why they had to be cared for. And it doesn't take much Christian imagination to see that all of this teaching in the Old Testament law of God explodes into the New Testament's marvelous teaching on the need for Christians to care for ministers and for the servants of Christ in gospel work, in full-time service. It is our calling and our privilege to minister to the ministers of Christ. Jesus said, "The laborer is worthy of his hire." Beloved, it is a loyal thing that you do when you render service to the brothers, especially to strangers. And John, in his third epistle, has visiting strangers, visiting evangelists. It's a loyal thing you do when you render any service to the brothers, especially to these visiting evangelists who have testified to your love before the Lord. You will do well to set them on their journey as befits God's service, for they have set out for his sake and have accepted nothing from the heathen. And so we ought to support such men that we may be fellow workers in the truth. Drink in these words. We ought to support such men that we may be fellow workers in the truth. 3 John verses 5 to 8. The Lord has commanded, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living from the gospel. The Levite has to be cared for by the people of God, and it is our duty and our calling and our privilege to minister to those who minister Christ. Care for the Levite who is within your towns. Secondly, the tithe belonged to the Lord by right. And this tenth of one's substance was a bare legal expression of the love that we owe to God. In this connection, I'm very impressed by a saying of Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, as it then was, and it's now the Overseas Missionary Fellowship. Hudson Taylor was a man, of course, who walked out in faith. He set all his past, his money, behind him, and he walked out in faith to take the gospel to China. And Hudson Taylor once said, "God's work, done in God's way, will never lack supplies." Now there are some important qualifications there. It has to be his work, and it has to be done in his way. It's not our work done in his way, or what's worse, it's not his work done in our way. It has to be his work. And when it is done in his way, there will never be any shortage of money. God's work done in his way will never lack supplies. The Old Testament says that money is no problem to God. The cattle upon 1,000 hills are his. The beast of every field, all the world is his with its fullness. He made the gold and he made the silver. Money is no problem at all to him. And it is indisputably the case that when Christians take up the practice of tithing, the problems of church finance are solved overnight. If every member of the Church of Scotland were to start tithing, the general treasurer in Edinburgh would scarcely know what to do with his resources. In fact, many Christians within the churches are taking up tithing, and indeed tithing plus. And where there are Christians who tithe and tithe plus, those congregations and fellowships are in a healthy condition, both spiritually and materially. Surely you now must know that a very high proportion of our income comes from a minority of Christians who tithe their substance. There are some Christians who take a kind of perverse delight in pointing out that tithing is not mentioned in the New Testament as a Christian obligation. And that is true, because nowhere in the New Testament are Christians asked to tithe their substance for the Lord's work. But there is no comfort at all in the New Testament for those who try to run away from the challenge of tithing by pointing that out. Because in fact, the New Testament is far harder than the Old. The New Testament says that you must hand over everything you have to God, not just a tenth. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you hand yourselves over as a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1, and the word that Paul uses there for a living sacrifice is the word that's used in the Old Testament sacrificial system for the whole burnt offering. Something that was laid on the altar and completely consumed. Hand yourselves over as a burnt offering, which is your reasonable service. It's the most logical thing you can do. It's the minimum requirement from a Christian. Hand yourself over, not just a tenth, but all of you, to God. You see, the New Testament is far harder than the Old. May the God of peace, says Paul at the end of 1 Thessalonians 5, may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, wholly, whole of you. May your spirit, body, and soul be kept sound and blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole man, body, soul, and spirit, is to be handed over to God. The New Testament is harder than the Old. In the New Testament, God doesn't just want a tenth. He wants all of you. 2 years ago, when the General Assembly Finance Committee made its recommendations to the General Assembly, the convener had the great daring to recommend, rather sheepishly, I thought, that perhaps 1/20th might do, and could we ministers please go back to our congregations and have the daring to recommend that perhaps 1/20 might be the right proportion. Well, 1/20 is half a tithe. Why not the tithe? Why not the tithe? When the New Testament says, all of you, we move to the third thing, which is the broad spectrum of Christian generosity. In order to appreciate it, you've really got to go back to the first two verses and see that this whole chapter, with its great teaching, hinges on the three words that you find there: sons, holy, and called. Therefore, sons, that's to say, part of the family of God, part of the family of grace, the children of God by faith. Secondly, holy, which means separated or special. And thirdly, called, which means chosen out and selected. And these are the great nails on which all this argument about Christian living hangs. How then should we live is the question that is answered by Deuteronomy 14. How should those who are sons, holy and called, live? Are you a child of God this morning? Are you part of the family of grace? Have you been separated for Christ's use and pleasure? Are you into the number of God's elect, sons, holy and called? How then should you live? The broad picture, of which caring for the Levite and tithing are only a small part, the broad picture is that those who are sons, holy and called, should live generously. The quality of your giving is determined by the quality of your being sons, holy, called. Being. Therefore, one wonders what one is to make of mean Christians with their miserable cheese-paring attitudes, counting the bobbies and watching the bobbies. I know we must be provident, but you can also be over-canny and over-calculating. You can have a purse that is closed, and a wallet that is closed, and a home that is closed, because our homes are part of our stewardship. Are these miserable Christians Christians at all? Well, one wonders. I do know this. Isaiah says, the liberal man devises liberal things. A real Christian, sons, holy, called, is a generous Christian. Sir Winston Churchill once said, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. So, my friends, sons, holy, called, are you making a living or are you making a life? Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the preaching of his word. To his name be honor and praise. 349, in closing, we sing the first two verses and the last verse only. 349, the first two verses and the last verse. Father, who on man dost shower gifts of plenty from thy dower.